Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So good morning again. I'm delighted to be with you this morning. Thank you for weathering the storm, so to speak, and braving the cold and coming out in what might have been a slippery drive here. But you made it, and we're all together for this glorious worship service to hear a word from God this morning, which I hope is coming through the music or the prayers or perhaps this sermon or just being in the communion and fellowship with one another. As I was helping Mary to put the salt on the sidewalks, I thought there must be some reason why God wants to speak to one of you today. Something that you're going to get out of this worship service that was worth all this effort to keep this church open during this service. So I trust that God will come through for you and give you that message this morning. This particular morning, I would like to talk with you about the topic of a vision of God's glory. A vision of God is a great motivator for action. And what we find is that vision comes before mission. So when a church is determining its congregational priorities, we oftentimes pause to consider our vision at the outset before we jump into determining our mission statement or core values or prioritized ministry goals. The vision needs to come first. And there is a saying in the book of Proverbs, "Without a vision, the people perish." I like to turn that proverb upside down and say it this way: with a vision, the people thrive. So if we have a vision of God's glory, then it's easier for us to figure out what our mission is. Today's collect talks about having this vision and becoming a herald of the gospel as a result of the vision. This collect comes directly from the prophet Habakkuk in the Bible, who says, "Write the vision and clearly inscribe it on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the vision awaits an appointed time. It testifies to the end, and it will not lie. Though it lingers, wait for it, since surely it will come and not delay. So today, let us put our minds to contemplating the vision of God's glory that each of us has as a motivator for our action. In today's collect, we find this phrase, the earth is filled with God's glory. And this week, certainly the ice has been something tough, but it's also been something beautiful. And I personally was awestruck by God's glory as we moved through the most recent ice storm, not the one this morning, but a few days ago. And I hope and pray that all of you were blessed with a warm, safe, dry place to stay while that storm was passing through. In the middle of this ice and cold, God's tremendous beauty was apparent to me. In the sunshine falling on the ice-covered trees, causing them to glisten, I just looked across the landscape and thought, I wish that I could capture this on my camera. It's so amazingly gorgeous to watch. I looked at brightly shining trees with various hues of white and silver and even gold lighting them up, and I thought, these trees are just like Christmas trees, but the lights on them are coming from God, coming from nature. The light shining on the ice made it look like the tree was lit up as I walked through the park with my little dog. This week in a daily devotional, I read a story of a man who had learned to see God's presence in the natural beauty of the world. This story is of a grandfather who decided to take his grandson fishing. They went out to a calm and beautiful cove where they were sitting on the water in their boat, casting their fishing rods, and having some quiet conversation. And the boy asked his granddad, "Do you think that we're going to be able to see God out here?" And his grandfather replied, "Son, these days I hardly see anything else but God." This grandfather had learned to adjust his vision so that over time he started seeing more and more and more of God's presence in the world. Till finally, as he entered into his final years, he was seeing God's presence all over the place, almost everywhere. In each person he met, in the natural beauty of the world, in circumstances, just all around, and teaching that lesson to his grandson in the boat. So today we have in our prayer this line, enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world. We don't need to go to an impressive place such as the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls to catch a glimpse of God's glory. It might be as simple as just looking outside your breakfast room window at the cardinals who have come to your feeder in the backyard. Or you might have a pet who does cute and silly things inside the house that make you laugh or smile. Or you might be able to step outside your door onto the front porch or a back stoop and look at an amazing sunset or a gorgeous tree or a sliver of a moon or a big full moon. When your vision becomes enlarged, you can see God's glory in many, many places all around us. So this morning in our lectionary readings, we find various biblical figures who all got these glimpses of God's great glory. And as we look at them, let's notice their reactions and then their responses. First, we encounter the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6, which is the story of Isaiah's call, his call to ministry. This is a passage that's oftentimes read in ordination ceremony. In the temple, Isaiah sees an amazing vision of God that includes seraphs flying around and proclaiming, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." What Isaiah how he reacts when he sees this incredible vision is he cries out, "Woe is me. I am a person of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips." So his first natural reaction was that he was struck by a deep awareness of his own sin in the face of that tremendous glory. And he wondered about his own worthiness. We find that knee-jerk reaction in many biblical characters. Think about Moses in chapter 3, verse 11 of Exodus, when he was in front of the burning bush, the bush that was on fire. You might remember from Sunday school classes, it was burning, but it was not consumed. And Moses heard a voice from God telling him that he was on holy ground in front of that bush. And he had an ensuing conversation in which God was asking him to go on a mission to deliver his people out of slavery. And his first knee-jerk reaction was, "God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" So God spent some time reassuring him that everything would be okay and that God would continue to be with him, that he would be able to fulfill his mission. Similarly, in today's gospel reading, when Simon catches a glimpse of God's glory in his daily life in the fishing industry, at the beginning of the story, while he and his colleagues are resting and cleaning their nets, Jesus borrows his boat to preach a sermon to the crowds that have gathered on the shore. And when the teaching is finished, Jesus and Peter are alone. And Jesus asks him to put his net out once more. And Peter explains why that probably would be useless. But he says he'll go ahead and do it anyway, since Jesus is his master. So as he puts that trust in Jesus, he's blessed with the most amazing catch of fish ever. His boat becomes so full of fish that it's almost sinking, and he has to call his friend over for help to bring another boat and take up the extra fish. When Peter sees this tremendously large miracle take place in these boats, his first reaction is exactly the same as Isaiah's reaction and Moses' reaction. He says, "Lord, get away from me." He has this feeling of unworthiness in Jesus' presence. Little does he know that this miraculous catch is just the beginning. It's simply a predictor of what's going to be happening in his mission and ministry when he begins doing this same type of fishing, but fishing for people instead of fishing for fish. Simon will end up saying yes to the call and becoming the rock upon which the church of Jesus Christ is built. Even St. Paul had this same type of a knee-jerk reaction in the sense that he felt like he might not be worthy to follow Jesus. In today's reading, St. Paul makes reference to the fact that He persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians before he met Jesus. And he finds that God's grace in his heart is greater than all of his own unworthy feelings. He is able to accomplish the mission which God had for him by allowing his own ego-driven mission to be replaced with God's greater mission. And his true self ends up emerging. Today he explains that everything he accomplished, all the churches he planted, all the people he nurtured and discipled, and all the letters he wrote which made it into the canon of Scripture, all these successes were due to that simple grace of God working inside him that was greater than his own self. So despite our knee-jerk reactions of maybe we can't do this, we can learn to develop trust in God's call to us. And Micah 6:8 clearly outlines what God's will is for us: to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And that broad mission statement takes on personal meaning for each of us that will be fulfilled. Our true purpose will be fulfilled. And this morning, Psalm 138 tells us that this true purpose for each unique individual will be fulfilled. Philippians chapter 1 says, I'm certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue this work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. So notice how after these initial reactions, our biblical friends actually started making faithful responses. And each of them said yes to God's call. When Moses got the reassurance he needed that Aaron would be the mouth to speak for him, and he would have plenty of signs to show the people that God was truly with him, he faithfully said yes to God, and he became, in my opinion, the most influential instrument of God in the Hebrew Scriptures. He later served as an example for such great leaders as Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King. Likewise, Isaiah became ready to say yes after his mouth was cleansed with a burning coal. And when God said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me?" Isaiah raised his hand enthusiastically and said, "Here am I, send me." And St. Paul said yes after his sight was restored after a scary incident of temporary blindness that he experienced on the road to Damascus. He ended up saying yes to his call. And most dramatically, when Simon returned to shore with this massive load of fish, he proceeded to leave his nets, leave his boat, and just go after Jesus, following him. And Jesus ended up naming him Peter, Rock. So we see these scriptural examples of faithful people who had a vision of God's glory, had a knee-jerk reaction of their own sinfulness, but yet rose above that to say yes to God's call. We can focus on how they responded rather than how they reacted. And in our own lives, we can choose a faithful response to follow God's call in a life-giving way. Right here in this congregation, there are many, many examples of you who are following God's call. We can look around and see what it looks like to be faithfully living out God's call in a unique, divine, individual way. I'd like to conclude these examples of following God's call with a beautiful story of a French woman named Thérèse, which is the French word for Teresa. She is my mentor's sister. My mentor, Cécile, grew up in eastern France near Germany, and she and her two sisters were orphaned in the war, the Great War, and her parents died, so they were raised by nuns in a monastery. As they got older, one of the three sisters stayed in France to become a mother and raise a beautiful family. One sister married a man who lived in Lebanon. And then when they were raising their children there, the war broke out and they needed to move their family to the U.S. So she moved here and ended up becoming my mentor in the U.S. The third one became a Roman Catholic nun herself, and she went to where she thought God needed her the most. Her particular order had a station in Syria, and she decided that even though it was a dangerous and war-torn part of the world, she would choose not to be afraid. She believed that if God called her there, God would protect her there and keep her safe there. So she was willing to be far removed from her sister in France, from where she grew up in eastern France, and from her sister who had moved to the U.S., and go to Syria to live with her new sisters in their new order, and to follow God's call upon her life to serve the people that she felt she was being called to serve. And there she found a new community in this new place of service. This is a modern-day example of someone who followed her call just like the biblical figures followed their call. So I ask you this morning to contemplate, what is your personal divine purpose? How are you following God's call? What is the vision of God's glory that motivates you? How have you seen a miracle or witnessed something glorious or had some sense of divine peace that you wish others could experience? Is there some type of a life habit or a personal devotion that you would like others to know, just as you've discovered it for yourself? How can you share your experience of God with someone who needs God today?
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.